Welcome to the Faith Element Podcast for the February 12, 2017 session, focusing on Matthew 5, verses 21 through 37, Relationship Status. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Daniel Glaze.
I'm Darian Duckworth.
Darian, we're glad to have you back on the podcast.
Thanks. It's always good to be here with you guys.
Now, if you're unaware of Darian, she's on the podcast regularly, but just in case, she is the pastor of the First United Methodist Church of West Point, Mississippi, not too far from Burt. And obviously, she's become a regular on the podcast. But Darian, I think you're having some stormy weather tonight. Is everything okay over there?
Yeah, everything's fine, except the internet decides to kind of cut off now and then. But thankfully, I think we're good to go now. Yeah, it's just been raining constantly today, but it's better than the thunderstorms. And Isaac, my dog, who is sitting nearby, is very grateful that there's no thunder or lightning at the moment. So I think the worst is behind us for now. We'll see.
Good. In the midst of the storminess, might you be able, Darian, to help us get started with a look at this text?
I will do my best in stormy weather and what can feel like a stormy text at times. Yes. All right. So tonight we are looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 37. And a few weeks ago, those of you who listen to the podcast regularly know that the Faith Element team was talking about Isaiah, and Bert shared a story about his grandmother. Now, Bert's grandmother and my grandmother were best friends. They lived in the same small town, but more importantly, they were in the same Sunday school class at the Baptist church for many years. And like any good Sunday school, they spent a lot of time talking about the Bible, and they took turns teaching each other about the Bible. My grandmother's bookshelves were full of these thinly bound Bible commentaries where you bought a separate book for each book of the Bible, and she used those to help her teach. And I remember one evening she called my mother with deep concern in her voice. She was to teach on the book of Obadiah in a few weeks. And she was distraught because she could not find a single commentary in her whole house. And I don't know how the session on Obadiah turned out, or if my mom located a commentary for my grandmother in time, but I do know that the women gathered with our grandmothers in that long ago musty room at the Baptist church did have a common purpose. They wanted to learn from the scriptures. And every day around the world, we gather in classrooms and pubs and cathedrals and living rooms, and we try to make sense of this big book we call the Bible. In today's lesson, we find Jesus doing the same thing, trying to interpret and apply the Hebrew Bible to the lives of his listeners. This is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, a long and winding homily that calls us not only to be hearers of the word, but also interpreters of the word around big topics: anger, adultery, divorce, oaths, topics we still encounter today. And we still try to make sense of them. Some translations of this passage divide it into smaller passages and title them Concerning Anger, Concerning Adultery, Concerning Divorce, Concerning Oaths. Concerns. Jesus is concerned about the ways in which we treat one another and relate to one another. He is concerned about how we interpret the scriptures in light of our relationships to each other. He is concerned about possible misuse of the law to hurt each other. His concerns should be our concerns, because he is the Christ, and we, as the body of Christ, are seeking to live in healthy relationships to one another every day.
See, Darian, when you become a regular on the podcast, we give you a text like this to start
That's
out.
That's exactly right.
I've arrived.
Was this arrived.
Like the hazing? So this isn't part of the hazing. This is the actual.
A little bit.
Initiation.
Initiation. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I like salt and light better last week. But I will say that, you know, I mean, obviously we talk a good bit when we're not recording. Often we'll spend 20 or 30 minutes in between podcasts, just chatting and catching up. And, you know, as you were talking, Darian, you know, I realized that what we talk about most often are our relationships, whether they're friends or family or people we work with, that they are important to us.
My dad was a pastor, and I began doing my theological studies kind of formally in college. And I remember calling him one day. I was trying to figure something out to write for a paper. And he said to me, he said, Nikki, he said, when you read scripture, it all boils down essentially to relationships. If you read scripture, it's always talking about relationships, and it's going to be one of four relationships: your relationship to God, your relationship to others, your relationship to the created world, and your relationship to yourself. And I've found that's pretty close to true. I haven't really found a passage in scripture that doesn't fall into one of those categories. And I think that, you know, we tease about the challenge of this passage. And it is challenging. It holds us to a higher standard than our culture holds us to. It asks us to live in really, you know, right and selfless relationship with one another. But essentially, I think overarching, the message is one of, like Darian said, concern, that God is concerned about our relationships. And that leaves me wondering why. So why is so much of scripture, and particularly our passages today, instructive in some way about relationship?
Probably because we need a good bit of guidance in that area.
I mean, we know that God created us to be in relationship with one another. And we all can identify those people with whom we're in relationships that bring out the best of ourselves. I mean, that's sort of how we're created to be. But all too often, we take advantage of those relationships, whether it's a power dynamic or there's a situation of abuse. We need to be reminded that each person, I think, you know, is created in God's image. And the way we relate to one another has a bearing on, I think, how we relate to God. Nikki, you were talking about how your dad reads scripture through this idea of relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think he's right. There are those four types of relationships, but I would argue that they're interconnected as well. You know, you
sure
cannot say, I love God, but I hate my brother or sister. Mm-hmm. How we treat one another is, you know, has a direct impact on how we seek to live in right relationship with God. Especially if we believe each person has within him or her the imprint of God within them. I don't know, but there's something to, I think, that idea of the interconnectedness of relationships.
Yeah, and the interconnectedness reminds me of the complexity of relationships. I mean, all the different types that you described, Nikki, and then when you think about all these types being interwoven with each other, our relationships are so complex because they're so different and so varied, because we're so diverse and so varied as humanity and as people. And I mean, even on Facebook, one of the options for your relationship status is it's complicated. Mm-hmm. And that's been around. I remember when I joined Facebook like a year after it came out, that was an option for a relationship status. And I put it up for like a day because I thought it was funny. And then people took it seriously and said, what's wrong? You know, are you in a complicated relationship? And I just thought it was funny. But now there are all these other different options of relationship status. And that just reminds us of that Jesus is addressing this, not only because it's so, relationships are such a huge part of being human and relating to one another, but it's complex and we need help with how to navigate those waters.
Yeah, and I think, Daniel, you were really onto something. You were talking about how that so often, particularly in our passage today, that it is instructive to us about how to treat one another well, because sometimes we don't. And I think that's what all of it is about today, when our anger gets the best of us, and when we are tempted to be unfaithful, or when we are tempted to just be done with a relationship and, you know, not think that through. Or in the case of the oaths, maybe we aren't always honest or faithful with our word. But Jesus is calling us to be more faithful with what we say we're going to do. And all of these things that Jesus is instructing us in, I don't think it's about, you know, making life hard. I really think it's about making life full. It's about calling us to live more abundantly. When we don't let our anger get the best of us, we may have to do some work to do that, but we ultimately, it is a better thing. It is a better way to live.
That's interesting, because at first reading of this, I'll admit, I think Jesus is being way too tough on us. I mean, this is, I want to say, whoa, ease up, you know, we're doing the best we can. But I don't think Jesus' point is to make life difficult for us, or to make our relationship status complicated. But I think this is Jesus' difficult words here are an indication of how important and serious Jesus takes our relationships and calls us to take them more seriously. Not to burden us, but to help us have that full life, to experience life and relationships in all its fullness. I think you're right, Nikki. I hadn't thought of it deeply like that, but I think you're right.
You know who's really good at focusing on relationships? Teenagers. I mean, if you want mm-hmm. you know, to really get with a group that is focused on each other, not always good, but many times very much focused on relationship. I mean, it's adolescents, it's teenagers. I worked for years as a youth minister, and I learned early on that, number one, I agree completely, Nikki, with what you were saying about how the scriptures hang on these relationship points, mm-hmm. that is a central focus, how we relate to God, how we relate to one another, the creation, ourselves. That's so important. But in youth, get that. Mm-hmm. I mean, totally get it. And so when we did Bible studies and you know, brought that, put the light on the reality of the value of relationship to God and to Jesus, and in those teachings, you know, the light bulbs would go off in their heads, because they were already thinking how important these relationships are. And suddenly here they've got the church and Jesus saying the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, sometimes we make fun of teenagers for their obsessiveness around relationships, but I think we might have some things to learn from them.
Mm. You know, when we talk about all of scripture helps point us toward relationships with one another and the world and God and ourselves, it makes me wonder if it tells us something about God. I mean, we talk about scripture being God-inspired. So does this idea of relationship and the importance of that tell us something about God?
I mean, certainly for us, the things we seek say something about us, right? And if God is seeking relationship with us, that's one, a great compliment. But two, I mean, I don't know how it can't say something about God and God's value of relationship. But are you asking, what does it say about God?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, well, one, does it? And, you know, I always tease that if you listen to what a preacher preaches about, you know a lot about a preacher. If you pay attention to what a writer writes about, you know a lot about that writer. If you listen to what a teacher teaches about, you can learn a lot about that teacher. And so I feel like if we talk about scripture as God's words to us, maybe it teaches us something about God. And, you know, in the beginning, God sought relationship with us. But I wonder, does it tell us what's most important to God? And then how does that inform how we interpret where we are, our own relationships, and maybe even our communal and country and world relationships?
Yeah, I was just sitting here thinking with this passage. There's a lot in this passage that where Jesus is actually, I had not thought about this until now, is talking about, Nikki used the word brokenness at one point, and he's talking about very broken situations mm-hmm. that people are going through, or situations that remind us that we are fragile, that we are human. And especially in the year 2016, when we talked about how many celebrities died, how many well-loved, not just celebrities, but well-loved musicians and actors mm-hmm. died, and the political climate, mm-hmm. not just in the United States, but in the world.
Around the world.
Yeah, throughout the world, we were just reminded of our fragility and as our brokenness as people. And Jesus addressing the anger, the adultery, divorce, his comments on oaths, and trying to weave scripture into all of that, to me, is just a reminder that God is with us within that brokenness, trying to be in relationship with us right where we are.
Mm.
And that's something that I had not seen in this passage, and I don't think I would have seen without this conversation around it.
Mm.
But there is a sense of Jesus bringing wholeness into simply speaking into this brokenness.
Yeah, I think so often we read this passage, and, you know, passages that are kind of like this one, as damning. You know, like, we remember the time we got so angry, or we remember when maybe we broke an oath, or maybe you're someone who has had experience with adultery or divorce, and you read this and we feel shame. We feel, oh man, or we get mad, like, why are you saying this about me? And we take it really personally. But I really am a believer that God, and through God through Jesus, does want to bring wholeness and abundance to us. And I think that ultimately these passages are full of kindness and love and even a generosity of spirit from Jesus to us, calling us to live whole, abundant lives.
Well, as we were talking this evening, I couldn't help but be reminded that, you know, when Jesus was asked directly, you know, what are the greatest commandments, Jesus selected two that were, you know, completely focused on relationship. And you can find it in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. But I'll read it again. He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Thank you all for your relationship and for this good conversation.
Thanks, David.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Find more information about this podcast, as well as videos and teaching resources for this session, at faithelement.net. Subscribe to the Faith Element podcast on iTunes. Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.